This recording is taken from our Deutsche Confession of Faith. It's based on our articles, which our forefathers have got together in 1632. They came from all over the place, far and wide, and they put together 18 articles, and that's what we base our faith upon. It's based upon the Bible, God's Word, which we say is true, and God's Word never changes, so our articles never change either. But we just want to see, where are we at? What did they really believe? And I want to thank you that you have taken the time to learn more. And I just want to greet you with the greetings from our Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us by faith in Him. Peace be unto you. In the 16th article, we read, this is what these guys believed long ago. We also confess and believe in a bond, separation, and Christian discipline within the church, for amendment and not for destruction. Amen. We all agree with that. So that the pure may be distinguished from the impure. Namely, if someone has been enlightened, has obtained the knowledge of the truth, in German it says, die Erkenntnis der Wahrheit hat angenommen, and been incorporated into the fellowship of saints. Wow. In 1632 they called each other saints. What does it mean to be enlightened? What does it mean? What's this truth they're talking about? Well, the articles from 1 to 9 talk about that. The first one's like God created everything and we got to believe in God, and then how sin came into the earth through Adam, and what God had to do to change it, to take care of sin. He had to send Jesus, Article 3, 4, and 5. And Jesus had to come because we had a debt that we couldn't pay. So Jesus came, He lived a perfect life, and He died, and He took our sins if we believe in Him. And I want to start in Article 6 a little bit and explain what this was all about. Article 6, it's talking about what we have to do. We have to repent, and we have to believe. And it says in the end of the Article 6, it says, for neither baptism nor the Lord's Supper, nor church membership, nor any other outward ceremony can without faith and the new birth, change or renewal of life, avail anything to please God. But it says on the contrary, that means on the opposite. One must go to God in true and perfect faith and believe in Jesus Christ, as the scriptures say, and testify of Him. What does believe mean? It means believe. And I want to believe that I believe that I believe. How do we know if we believe? Do we trust Jesus? That's what we got to do. As the scriptures say, and testify of Him. That means live a good life so that people can see, but it also means speak about Jesus. You know? And it's through this faith, it's through believing this faith, that we obtain forgiveness of sins. We are sanctified. You know, God is always working in our life to make us better people. He's sanctifying us. We are justified. What does justify mean? Our sins are forgiven. It's through God, through Jesus, that He forgives our sins if we believe. That's justified. And we are made children of God. This is coming right out of the article books in article number 6. We are made children of God. It says made. It doesn't say we might be soon. We could be. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we are made children of God. Yes, we partake. We partake of His mind, His nature, and His image as being newly born again of God through the incorruptible seed from above. Wow, we are. If we believe, we now are children of God. Article 7, with regard to baptism, we believe and confess that all penitent believers, people that have repented, they've seen their sins, they repent, who through faith, that's trust, the new birth, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit are united with God and written in heaven, written in the book of life. It has happened already. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are united with God, and you are written in heaven. Article 8, it also says that those, namely of those who, as explained above, truly repent, rightly believe, and are rightly baptized, united with God in heaven. This stuff has already happened. It's done. And have been rightly incorporated into the fellowship of saints here on earth. That's the local body of church, believers. If you rightly believe, if you repent, believe, and then you become baptized, you are united with God in heaven when you believe. And now, when you get baptized, then you join a church. You join a local fellowship here. These people we acknowledge to be the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy people. Why are we holy? It's because Jesus died, and we believe in him. We get his righteousness when we believe. That's why we're holy. Who declared to be the bride and the wife of Christ. Yes, children and heirs of eternal life. A tent, a tabernacle, and a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, built upon the foundation and the apostles and the prophets, of which Christ himself declares to be the cornerstone upon which his church is built. This church of the living God, which he through his precious blood acquired, purchased, and redeemed, he has promised. God has promised to comfort, to protect every day until the end of the world. And when God promises something, he does it. Sometimes we promise things, we make mistakes. But God, when he promises it, he will do it. He will protect us. He will dwell among us, he'll walk with us, and he'll preserve us so that no flood, nor tempest, nor even the gates of hell can move us or prevail against us. People, that's the promise of God that we have, and we can choose to believe it or not believe it. But this is in our articles, this is what our forefathers believed, and that's what we want to bring front. We're going to go back to article number 16. Now we know what it means to be enlightened. We know what it means to have the truth, and we know what it means to be incorporated into the fellowship of the saints. Yet afterwards, let's say we willfully or presumptuously or in some manner again sin unto death. What needs to happen with us if we don't repent from that sin? Isaiah 59:2, where it says that our sins separate us from God and he won't hear us. If we have sin and we don't repent, God has already excommunicated us, and we must also be excommunicated by the church. It says, and we fall back into such unfruitful works of darkness, so that he is separated from God and barred from his kingdom. People, before this, we were in the kingdom of God. Now, we don't repent from our sin, God takes us out of the kingdom. And such a person, once the matter is made public and is sufficiently known, when it is known to the church, cannot remain in the congregation of the righteous. Amen. That's exactly right. But the point that we must understand here is that God has excommunicated this guy, that God has put him in the bond. He is separated from God because of his sin that he doesn't repent from. He is no longer in the kingdom of God. What is bound on earth is bound in heaven. What is loose on earth is loose in heaven. So if God has done this, then we must also do it. But if God hasn't excommunicated this guy, can we excommunicate him? And what happens if we do? What happens if we excommunicate someone that is still in the kingdom of God? What? You know, we read in Corinthians, we use the passage, and this is the bad part. This is the good part. It's supposed to happen. We read in Corinthians how they were immoral. And Paul says to him, you know, when you get together, you need to take this guy and hand him over to the devil. He says in Corinthians 5, he said, there's fornication among you, and you're puffed up, you're proud, you should rather mourn. And you should be ashamed that this guy has done this deed. You know, for I'm absent in the body, Paul, I'm not there with you guys. But in the spirit, I am present, and I have judged him already. You know, we're not supposed to judge. Are we supposed to judge? Aren't we supposed to judge? Paul here said, I have judged this guy already. In the spirit, as though I were present, and concerning him that has done this deed. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit. And what is Paul's spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. And with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Amen. That must be done. If I am ever in unrepentant sin, I want to be excommunicated so that I come back to God. But people, if we help excommunicate someone, if we say, I agree to excommunicate this guy, and he's still in the kingdom of God, and he has repented from his sin, we're getting on dangerous ground. If God hasn't excommunicated this guy, can we excommunicate him? And if we do, if we help to excommunicate him, what happens to us? Because we're going to use the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to use the power, we're going to use the Holy Spirit to hand this guy over to the devil. But if God's saying, this guy's in my kingdom, we're going to say, we don't care. He's not listening to us. We're going to hand him over to the devil anyway. So we're going to use the name of our Lord Jesus, and we're going to hand this guy that's still in the kingdom of God, that's spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit is in him, we're going to hand him over to the devil. That means we're taking the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to use it to hand the God that's in this man over to the devil. And that cannot happen. That's getting very close to called blaspheme, using the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in vain. And people, it has happened. And Lord, forgive us. Why am I taking the time to do this? We must repent from this. We must. If you have ever helped to excommunicate someone that was still in the kingdom of God, I pray that you will fall on your knees and ask God to forgive you. And if you know that it's wrong to excommunicate someone, I pray that you have the strength to stand up and say, I don't agree. And God will help you. He is faithful. And about shunning, the same way. We must shun the people that are rightly in the bond. We need to shun them. We need to help them see their sin. We can't be mad at them, but we've got to help them see them so they come back to God. That's what we need to do. We need to shun them. We need to say, brother, look, the Bible says you can't go out and get drunk. He said, I don't care. I'm going to get drunk anyway. I'm going to heaven. I was saved. No. Brother, the Bible says you can't go out and get drunk. We can't willfully sin. So please, don't drink. Come back. Here, I'll help you. That's what we need to do. But if we put these people in the bond, they're still in the kingdom of God. Or if we know that people that are in the bond, supposedly, in what we think is the bond, we can't shun them. You know, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? What do you think he's saying when we excommunicate or shun someone that's not listening to what I think he should do? What do we think that Jesus is saying? I think he's saying, why do you persecute me? Because what we do to one of these little ones, we do unto Jesus. And I think Jesus hurts every time that someone's excommunicated that's still in the kingdom of God. So I pray that you get your Bibles and your article books and that you study this thing out. Just pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, please open my eyes that I could see what you want me to believe, not what I want to see, but what I should be seeing. That you would be able to know what it is to have your sins forgiven by faith in Jesus Christ, and that you would only shun the people that God is shunning.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.